Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick, Dave Smith, the Executive Director of Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action, will be with us in just a few minutes. But first, a little recent history and an update. Late July, Governor Bruce Rauner signed legislation that decriminalized possession of marijuana in Illinois. Those caught with 10 grams or less will face a fine of up to $200, but no jail time. Now, marijuana advocates are taking another step toward legal recreational pot use in Illinois with House Bill 3235. The legislation not only amends the Cannabis Control Act, but it also reduces penalties for possession, manufacturing, and trafficking in heroin, cocaine, meth, and marijuana. We recently spoke with an expert on the negative impact legal marijuana is having in the state of Colorado. Joe McGuire is warning Illinois lawmakers to steer clear of the path her state has taken. Ms. McGuire is one of the board of directors of the Drug and Alcohol Association. She co-chairs the Marijuana Education Committee, and you can visit her at realmarijuanafacts.org. You're a Colorado resident, and as we know, Colorado has legalized marijuana. And the results aren't good.
Correct. You know, we have deep concerns with what is going on, and most importantly, what is not being shared with those states who are changing their policies toward legalization of marijuana in many different forms, whether that's for medical use, for recreational use, decriminalization, whatever's going on. So one of the major concerns is that the real stories of what's happening on the ground, what I see where I live, are not reaching the ears of the voters. Colorado voters regret this decision to vote for the legalization of recreational marijuana. We were promised a tax and regulate scheme, and we have many pieces of that law that are not in control. Unlimited THC potencies, which is the high that folks get when they use it. We have an unlimited number of retail stores that are allowed to be put out there. We have diversion going out to other states. We have it getting into the hands of kids. They're getting access to this. Not only that, but they're growing up in a culture where the use of marijuana is normalized to them. So we're also fostering an environment where we're commercializing marijuana. So kids see that. They see ads that are attractive to them. They see products that are attractive to them, like sodas, lollipops, gummy bears, cookies.
The marijuana industry is targeting kids.
That's right. They are targeting kids because that's how you continue to support a product, is you have to have that youth base of use from ages 8 to 14, and then that's your next generation of users. So kids are seeing this. You know, I was talking to a PTA grandmother a few months ago, and she said, I was picking up my grandson from school. I'm a room mom. I volunteer at my grandkids' schools. And one of his little friends said, I can't come over to play right after school because me and my grandma have to stop by the pot shop on the way home. So small children, to them, this is their normal. It's like going to the grocery store. But not only that, we have in Colorado allowed the producing of a vast array of products that most voters have never seen before. They think of a little weed, some joints, or what have you. We have the edible products. We have cartridges that go in e-cigarettes or vaporizers. We have products that are extractions. They are butane hash oil extractions called waxes or dabs. There's a variety of different names. High, extremely high potency products. One hit of dabs is equal to about 26 hits of one joint.
So we're not talking about pot from yesteryear.
Absolutely.
That Cheech and Chong used.
No. You're talking about chemically enhanced products. So when you look at cocaine, people freebase it, we call that crack. You have the same thing with marijuana. And not only are we legalizing that, but in states like Illinois where laws are changing, they are writing these products into the definition of what marijuana is. So we're not even trying to stop it. And that's shocking to me and concerning as a parent and as a citizen that our voters do not understand these things.
And this recreational marijuana is really putting people's lives at risk, even non-users.
Absolutely. We have had students who have come and used marijuana on spring break. They've had psychotic breaks because they've tried these edible products, and they've ended up dead. Their lives have been taken, sometimes by their own hands, sometimes other incidents. And the CDC has ruled several of these deaths as directly related to marijuana intoxication. Now, according to the World Health Organization, any death related to alcohol is considered an alcohol-related death. So if it's a domestic violence dispute and the perpetrator is intoxicated, that's an alcohol-related death if the spouse is killed. Why are we not doing the same with marijuana? We're not doing the same with road-related fatalities because of marijuana-impaired driving. We have many, many of these stories that we can tell, and we do not seem to have the platform to get the word out to help educate people so they can understand that. The media certainly is not talking about it.
Well, the media says, well, this is actually a good thing because there's so many medical reasons why people should use marijuana.
You know, and that's something I'm concerned about in Illinois, is opening up the list of qualifying conditions for which people can apply for a medical marijuana card. That is taking away controls. In Colorado, what we saw when the list was expanded and the patients were expanded and the access was promoted, that's when commercialization really began in Colorado, was expanding that use. So what you'll see in Colorado right now is less than 3% of medical marijuana users are actually for the things like HIV, AIDS, cancer, seizures, and that type of thing. 94% of medical marijuana users say severe pain. And so it's just under that general auspices. And the normal age range is 21 to 40. Biggest user group is 21 to 30, and then you have 31 to 40 is your second largest. Well, you have people who are going in and saying, you know, ow, ow, and getting their medical marijuana card. It's really a ruse, and it's just an excuse to use pot with no medical efficacy.
Explain to me how Colorado voters came around to legalizing marijuana. First, it was for medical use, right? And then there was legalization, and it came through the auspices of college campuses, early voting, and George Soros. There's a connection there.
Mm-hmm. There's a connection. So the National Organization to Reform Marijuana Laws, NORML, the Drug Policy Alliance, which is a sister organization of NORML, and then the Marijuana Policy Project, which is kind of like their child, I guess. but those three organizations, heavily funded by George Soros, and those outside organizations brought a constitutional amendment to Colorado. It was brought by outside agencies, funded by outside agencies, and these talking points are very refined. You know, tax, regulate, keep it out of the hands of kids. Sounds really great. They're selling a dream. It's a philosophy that is not borne out in truth. But what they did was they did early voting drives on college campuses during a major election year, and the kids got registered to vote in the state. Then they signed the petitions to get it on the ballot. And then those kids voted early, and in debates after they voted by electronic, you know, ballot beforehand, or paper ballots. We do mail-in ballots in Colorado. So they did their mail-in ballots. Then we do debates on campus, and the kids would go, wow, you know, what you're saying sounds right, but we already voted. In my community, we lost this vote in my community by 15 votes. And when you look at the demographics, it's our major college campuses where this was won. It's really fascinating how that happened.
And now big business is latching on to marijuana.
Absolutely. So you'll see that these initiatives are being funded by Wall Street groups who are going in and investing. You have a group that's created the Marley product, Marley Natural. This is a Wall Street group, and they are opposed to, what they want to do is they want to become the next big tobacco. They're seeking to be the Philip Morris of pot. Interestingly enough, the tobacco industry is also interested in this product. So it's going to be quite fascinating to see how this unfolds in the future, but it's all about money.
Well, the push for legalized marijuana is coming to Illinois. What are some things we need to watch out for And how can we stop it?
People are sold on the money. They get addicted to the money. They think we're going to solve all of our financial crises. When in fact, in Colorado, all the marijuana tax revenue we have brought in has been less than 0.7% of our entire state budget. It's not a solution. The other issue is we're not counting the cost. The cost of addiction, and it is addictive. The cost of rehab, the cost of impact to kids who drop out of schools, the cost of homelessness. Our homelessness is up incredibly in Colorado. The cost of roadside fatalities. You know, the list goes on and on. The cost of emergency room visits. We're not counting the cost. So I think if the folks from Illinois could understand that there's no pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, we solve our problems differently than these solutions like, you know, well, whatever you implement, we think gambling's going to solve it all. We think the lottery's going to solve it all. These things never come through. They end up having much more loss and impact in losses than in money that we make. This is no different. We're just adding another social ill that's going to cost us, and there's no pot of gold. So I really want them to understand that this is not a solution to budgetary issues.
And you think that faith leaders, especially pastors, need to speak out on this. You think it's a moral issue?
Absolutely. We're talking about drug use, especially when it comes to our kids. Marijuana is particularly harmful to the adolescent brain. It's toxic to the adolescent brain. It permanently damages it. It does not heal and recover over a lifetime of abstinence after adolescent use. So our pastors need to be in the pulpit helping to educate our families that drug use is not okay. It's harming our youth. We need to protect our vulnerable from those that are preying upon them and selling them on addiction. It's addiction for profit. And what pastor would not be able to look at the congregation and say, we won't go down that road?
What do parents need to be telling their kids about this?
What parents need to be telling their kids is you don't have to choose between a drug or an alcohol. You choose drug-free. You choose looking at how we cope with things in a healthy way. Choose sports. Choose academics. Choose those wonderful, healthy, family-oriented, friendly-oriented activities that bring you your best life and your best future. But drugs and alcohol is not a solution. It's not a choice, and it doesn't take you to the best place where you can be.
So what message should John Q. voter be telling their state lawmakers here in Illinois about marijuana?
The voters need to be telling their policymakers, stop buying into this. It's not going to solve our problems. We want federal laws enforced on this Schedule I drug. We want controls in place, but that does not mean legalization. They really need to tell their lawmakers to stop being influenced by marijuana money, because that's really what it's coming down to. It's being promised campaign dollars by the marijuana industry, and our lawmakers need to rise above that.
And if folks would like to make a connection with you, what should they do?
They can email me. It's Joe, J-O, at joemcguire.org, and that's J-O-M-C-G-U-I-R-E.org.
Joe McGuire with realmarijuanafacts.org here on Illinois Family Spotlight. Dave Smith and I will weigh in on Ms. McGuire's comments and what's going on in the General Assembly regarding marijuana and other drugs after this.
Hi, this is Kurt Jarris, the host of Veracity Hill. Veracity Hill is a radio podcast dedicated to striving for truth on faith, politics, and society. I don't have all the answers, but join me as I explore important topics with guests from respective fields. To learn more, text the word VERACITY to 555-888. That's VERACITY to the number 555-888, or check out our website at veracityhill.com.
Join the Illinois Family Institute for a special forum, Climate Change and the Christian, with Dr. Calvin Beissner in Rockford, Arlington Heights, Orland Park, and Peoria.
The green movement threatens to trap the poor in poverty and rob people of property rights by touting false or exaggerated claims of eco-disaster.
Dr. Calvin Beissner is the founder of the Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. You don't want to miss his presentation on climate change and the Christian. What's true? What's not settled science? And what's our responsibility?
Now, it's true that if you love God, you will try to take good care of the earth. And I encourage you to do exactly that. But that's not gospel. That's law.
The Illinois Family Institute Climate Change and the Christian Forum is free. So bring your family and friends. Visit IllinoisFamily.org for times, dates, and locations. Or call 708-781-9328. This is Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Lurick, joined by David Smith, the Executive Director of the Illinois Family Institute and Illinois Family Action. And we are joined by Kathy Valenti. Kathy is the Director of Operations at IFI, and she's the editor of the Pothole Marijuana in the News articles. They're very informative.
Which goes out to all our state lawmakers.
That's correct.
Trying to educate them about the consequences of marijuana being used and legalized and approved by various government agencies, states or governments across the United States.
What kind of feedback do you get from lawmakers?
Well, first of all, I want to say they're not opinion pieces. These are actual articles that have been reported on by mainstream media.
Yep, that's important.
And some of the initial feedback we got was, please take me off your list. But we didn't. We kept them on the list because it's our job to educate the lawmakers on what they are considering in Springfield.
That's right.
Do you get any positive feedback from these folks?
We have gotten some positive feedback from a few of the lawmakers that you would expect it from. But for the most part, I would say no. And we, you know, are kind of concerned that the gatekeepers are not allowing this information, depending on their view of marijuana, not allowing this information to get into the lawmakers' hands.
Now, to be fair, the lawmakers are dealing with literally thousands of bills mm-hmm. in Springfield, and they're overwhelmed and inundated with all kinds of information. However, if they are going to approve a substance that has been historically considered an intoxicant and a bad thing for the society, they need to be aware of what they're doing and how it is having an effect on the culture. And as we listen to Joe in the first part of this podcast talk to us about what's happening in Colorado, you have to wonder, don't we have enough information to say, whoa, this experiment has gone too far. Stop it already.
And you have to wonder why Illinois lawmakers would even consider, for instance, House Bill 3235. We'll explain that. It's legislation that would reduce the penalties for marijuana, but also other drugs.
Other drugs. Kathy, I mean, isn't this just outrageous? It's not just marijuana, but they're looking to reduce the population of our prisons by taking away 80% of the penalties for holding on or selling this narcotics. That's the word I was looking for.
Drugs like cocaine,
controlled
heroin.
Controlled substances.
Yeah, heroin.
That are considered illegal under federal law. Yeah. Well, it's 50 to 80% reduction in penalties depending on the drug and depending on the gram amount. But what I see is incremental steps to total decriminalization and legalization for recreational purposes. That's what I see coming.
When you hear Joe talk about how the Colorado lawmakers had all these grand plans to tax or legalize and then tax marijuana, and then hear that it's only 0.7% of their whole revenue, you've got to sit back and say, it's not worth the cost. I mean, even if they were, in my opinion, were getting 50% of their revenue, I would say it's still not worth the cost. But when you hear it's only 0.7%, you really do have to sit back and scratch your head and say, what?
You know, something to add to that is the fact that they have regulated it, they have taxed it, and so it's far cheaper to buy in the black market. The black market is thriving in Colorado.
That's important for people to hear. Say that again. The black market is thriving. I said it for you.
I don't have to say it again.
No, right, exactly. But Isn't that amazing? Because they don't want to be regulated? They don't want to be taxed? What's...
Well, it's cheaper to purchase it.
Sure.
On the streets.
It's
because
cheaper on the streets.
The black market is not taxed and not regulated.
It's very interesting.
And you're also getting reports from Colorado of people doing their shopping there for marijuana from out of state, or they're having it delivered from Colorado to, let's say, Illinois.
Well, Colorado's neighbors, at least some of them, I can't remember which states there were now, didn't they sue? Aren't they suing Colorado because of the overflow into their state, people bringing it back into, right?
That's correct.
Right. And so, it's Kevin far-reacher. The consequences are reaching far beyond what the Colorado policymakers thought they would go.
Well, and there's a lot of people that are now coming to Colorado, homeless people, I should say. The number of homeless in Colorado is increasing exponentially.
You're kidding me.
And the number one reason, when asked why they're living there, is because of the weed.
My goodness. And you think about this coming to Illinois, it comes incrementally. They'll lower the penalties, then decriminalization, and then recreational use. We know that's the game plan. And you think, well, think about the fatalities this is going to cause on our roadways.
That's right.
But do you really want someone with a real good buzz working next to you in the factory, you know?
No, absolutely. Driving a forklift or something like that. You know, but back up a little bit, Monty. You were saying the incremental ways they're trying to get marijuana approved in the United States, in Illinois. I think it's interesting, her point that, medical marijuana and the expansion of the conditions is another way that they're incrementally expanding the use of medical marijuana here in the state of Illinois. And I thought it was alarming to hear her say that 94% of the medical marijuana use in Colorado was for extreme pain. Well, we all know that's very, very difficult to measure, if not impossible to measure. And so to be able to go in and say, I've got these migraines, I've got a backache, I've got this or that, I need marijuana. It is not being used for HIV, glaucoma, or these other things that we heard sob stories about at the committee hearings in Springfield, saying, oh, you've got to give me relief. It's far wider than that. And 94%, oh my goodness, that means only 6% of people are using it for these serious other issues.
Glaucoma and what have you.
Right, HIV.
Well, and I want to add, too, that the major medical associations do not favor marijuana as medicine.
Well, let's be real clear. IFI's position is eating or smoking raw marijuana is not medicine. That's our official position. And there's very good reasons for that. But before we wrap up this podcast, there's a couple things we want to talk about. One of the myths out there about marijuana is that our prisons are just filled with low-level marijuana abuses, and we just can't afford to keep putting people away for small amounts of marijuana on their possession.
Well, that's not at all the case. Both the state of Illinois and the federal prisons are not made up or not overwhelmed with first-time or simply just users. It's not the case. The amount of people serving time in Illinois prison is 0.1%.
0.1%.
The majority of those cases, I will add, have been plea bargained down for more serious crimes. So they're not just there for using marijuana or possessing marijuana. They have plea bargained down so that their record does not reflect a more heinous crime.
And if you add to that, our friend Ed Ronkowski, who wrote an article for IFI, it's called Marijuana Myths, on our website, if you want to look for it, illinoisfamily.org. He is a former prosecutor from Cook County. He literally wrote the book on narcotics prosecutions. He says, on average, it takes 5 arrests before a person faces any serious time for drug possession. 5 arrests. So, you know, we've got to pop that myth. We've got to blow that myth away because it's a serious issue that many of our policymakers are falling for.
Dave, Kathy, how do we stop House Bill 3225 and House Bill 3715?
We need constituents to call their state reps to urge them not to vote to decriminalize marijuana or any other drug for that matter.
Kathy, quickly tell us what House Bill 3715 is.
It removes penalties for enrolled students, and there's a definition for enrolled students, from bringing marijuana on school grounds.
So in other words, it's given a green light to students to bring pot to class.
That's just crazy.
It's insane.
What are the two bills that we're asking people to call on?
House Bill 3235.
3235 is the bill that would decriminalize all kinds of narcotics.
And House Bill 3715.
Which is bring your pot to school day.
That just sounds crazy. Allowing students to not face consequences if they bring marijuana to public schools.
Okay, so we want people to call their state representative and ask them to vote no to both of these bills. The phone number to the Springfield switchboard, the Capitol switchboard, 217-782-2000.
And, you know, this whole idea of decriminalizing, but prior to that, for passing medical marijuana, it gives kids, we're opening a Pandora's box when it comes to kids, because medicine is thought of as being harmless. So when the perception of risk goes down, the usage increases. So literally, we are going to be putting more drugs into the hands of our kids.
And you know what? Joe said it in the beginning of this podcast. They are commercializing it, and we in Illinois have medicalized it. What message have we sent to our young people? It is dangerous. Please, if you're listening to this podcast and a resident of Illinois, call your state representative, 217-782-2000, and ask them to vote no to
House Bill 3235 and House Bill 3715. And if you don't know who your state rep is, go to illinoisfamily.org and click on Officials Finder.
It's it.
All right. Thank you very much. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.